You are listening to Speak Free Radio, the free speech internet radio platform.
Well, good evening, everyone. It's Saturday Night Live again with the Hoaxbusters. So just Diane and I and background information behind us. So we hope to have a good show tonight. Hopefully we'll get some people to call in. I would love to hear about some of the new happenings with certain people, but we'll see if they get in touch with us. But we got things to talk about anyway. It doesn't matter. So we want to thank Speak Free Radio for allowing us to have a free speech here on this network. And let's get into what we've been doing. Every week we've been reviewing the book, 6 Million Fact of Fiction. As you can see, it's right behind me, right there. And Diane is doing a good job getting that information out for us. So we'll have a quick review of that, and then we'll move on to, you know, a lot of things we could talk about. And if we get call-ins, that would be good too. So, Diane, why don't you continue with the book?
It's a short chapter this time because it's an intro into the death, quote unquote, death camps versus labor camps. It's relatively short because then it starts introducing Auschwitz and all of the key villains, you might say.
Okay.
Key camp. Now, the next chapter is extremely long, dealing with Auschwitz.
We'll just cut that in half.
Could. That'd be fine. It depends. I'm going to go through it and see if it's necessary to do so. Initially, it's saying that there are only 6, quote-unquote, extermination camps. You've talked about this before. One of the most widespread misconceptions promoted by Holocaust storytellers, and by the way, this is a 6 Million Fact or Fiction by Peter Winter. It's the 8th edition, thanks to Dave Gaharry. And editing. Anyway, one of the most widespread misconceptions promoted by Holocaust storytellers is that a large number of concentration camps were established specifically, and I might add exclusively, for the purpose of gassing Jews and other individuals, to which I always would respond, they wish they were featured that way. This perception remains prevalent and is perpetually echoed by the media. So it surprises many individuals unfamiliar with the subject to learn that only 6 camps are designated as extermination camps. These camps are, in order of their notoriety, Auschwitz-Birkenau, Treblinka, Sobibor, Belzec, Majdanek, and Kelno. All these camps, except Kelno, were situated in what was then occupied Poland, known as the General Government or the Occupied Polish Region. Kelno, situated near the city of Lutz, was in Poland in 1939, but was incorporated into Germany for the duration of the war. It reverted to Poland, back to Poland in 1945, at the end of the war. The other notable camps, such as Bergen-Belsen, Dachau, Sachsenhausen, Buchenwald, Mauthausen, and Ravensbrück, were located within Greater Germany's borders, and it was claimed that they were not extermination camps. The narrative of extermination therefore shifted to the camps in Poland, which conveniently obscured from public scrutiny by the Iron Curtain and Soviet dominion could be further elaborated upon over time. In fact, it was 10 years in 1955 before any of the Western allies were allowed a lot of time to create a narrative, as many will attest to. Later, once a Holocaust narrative had been more firmly established, the camps in the West then also suddenly acquired gas chambers, as well a development that will be addressed in subsequent chapters of this book. Then he goes on to talk in the category, camp museums now freely admit post-war reconstructions of gas chambers. This is a huge admission, but it doesn't seem to diminish their claim of extermination. Many reconstructions built after the war. The most famous reconstructions presently on display, and which are freely admitted by the authorities to be so, are at Auschwitz I, Majdanek, and Mauthausen. All of these will be detailed in subsequent sections of this book. Remember, this is an intro into the topic of extermination and labor camps. And extermination always has the air quotes around them. Gas chambers only supposedly operational for 24 months. And this is most interesting in the claim that the gassing supposedly only took place over a span of just over 2 years, from 42 to 44. And the Holocaust storytellers, aware of the short time frame in which it is claimed that 6 million are supposed to have been murdered, have deliberately created the impression that exterminations took place for the entire period of the war, which would be 6 years. However, when their own claims are analyzed in detail, the truth emerges that they themselves claim that there were only gas chambers, again, more air quotes, in the six camps for 24 months or so. And I have a comment on the side that I added, do the math. And Jim has expounded on this extensively, that what the numbers they claim couldn't possibly have occurred in the time period they claim. However, when their own claims are analyzed in detail, the truth emerged that they themselves claim that there were only gas chambers in six camps for 24 months or so. Given that the 6 million figure surpasses the individual populations of at least 40 countries in the world today, including Ireland, Norway, New Zealand, and Costa Rica, among others, the feasibility of exterminating millions in merely six camps in just over 2 years should raise questions regarding the mass extermination narrative at all. Nevertheless, Holocaust storytellers continue to claim that this was not only achievable, but even suggest extermination numbers exceeding the 6 million mark, with figures of 9 or 12 million frequently mentioned. It is thus imperative to examine each of the six extermination camps comprehensively and objectively, evaluate the evidence in each case. And that's what we will be proceeding to do in the next weeks.
Okay, so let's talk about a couple of things. In the beginning, they really said they were being exterminated probably everywhere.
In every camp, yes. Yeah.
So anyway, so they knocked it down to 24 camps, which would include the German camps. All right, so they included the German camps. But then they found out that nothing was going on in those camps. So they excluded those camps, and they end up now with six camps, which Diane said, and of course, these camps, had to be in Poland. I mean, they couldn't be in Germany because, in Germany, you'd be able to really look into these things better. But in Poland, you couldn't because this was a communist control. They had control, so no one could go into those camps, and whatever they said went. I mean, people wouldn't be able to question them. So the two major camps, the really major camp was Auschwitz. That they really claimed, but Majdanek, that's a funny camp because they claimed that people were being exterminated in that camp. I mean, they said 1.78 million people were exterminated in Majdanek. All right. And Majdanek, as far as I understand, it was a camp that got shoes. They worked on shoes in that camp. All right. They fixed up shoes and sent them out to the other camps or whatever. I mean, that's as far as I can remember reading, but there were no extermination camps in Majdanek. And even today, they actually admit that it wasn't an extermination camp. Yet they keep pushing the bullshit that people were exterminated in the camp. And they even say it wasn't an extermination camp. And this is just within the last couple of years that they've said it wasn't an extermination camp. But they keep pushing it because nobody questions it. Nobody ever says anything about it. And this is the problem with the Holocaust. They can say whatever they want, and they sure are saying quite a bit. And even now it's getting worse. And it's just going on and on and on, complete nonsense. So it's pretty bad. Diane, did you want to say anything about that?
Only that stick to the facts. And that's what Peter Winter and others have done. Carlos Porter, didn't he write a book about the Holocaust being invented in Russia, basically? By the Soviets. The Soviets occupied the Soviet zone, obviously, in Germany as well. They had already completely occupied Poland. Wasn't that fun for Poland? Well, they thought that it was going to be terrible under the Germans. Now they got to experience life exclusively under the Soviets.
Yeah. I didn't send you this video, Diana, but we could go to, if we go to my BitChute channel, because I just put it up. It's quite humorous, actually. But the people that are given their stories today, understand, they were just babies.
Yeah.
Okay, then. Now, people don't get this. They don't understand this. So whoever's given this story today that's 80 years old, or maybe even 85, they couldn't be more than 5 years old at the time when the camps were functioning. But see, people don't want to think about that. You know what I mean? They don't think about that at all. You know, no one questions them. So wait a minute, you were just a baby. And then the thing that really, really makes it crazy, they show you their tattoo.
Oh, yeah. And yeah, we understand that, one, they did not tattoo kids. If they only tattooed workers, if they did it at all.
If they did it at all. Not, right. I mean, I'm even coming away with this with another view, because I used to think, all right, people are showing tattoos and they look legit. I mean, but they might not even have done tattoos because there's no information about it anywhere. Anywhere. I mean, nobody writes about it.
No.
Movies are coming out. There's a movie out now called The Tattooist of Auschwitz, you know, all based on bullshit. None of that can be proven. And you really think the Germans are going to put a Jew in charge of tattooing people? I mean, it's like going down to Social Security and put an illegal immigrant there to work in the office of Social Security.
Wait, they do that. They do that in your town, by the way.
Well, they do that now. There's no doubt about it, okay? So now I want to show you this video because it's really funny. Because this is Dietlin Felder.
Yeah.
And you don't hear much about him, okay? But he was instrumental at, you know, going to these camps, taking thousands of pictures and presenting the information to Erd Zundel at, you know, for his trial and this and that. So this guy, he knew quite a bit. I mean, this guy had all the information, and I'm talking, this is back in the 80s now, okay? And so now he's on a radio program. And this is it here on the right, this guy here. All right. So anyway, he's on this radio program and they're talking about the Holocaust. So now what happens is a woman's going to call in. Cause I mean, so in other words, we missed a lot of the program, but we just got to get to the best stuff. And so this is just to show you that these people that were in the camps don't even know where the hell they were.
That's right.
They don't know where they were. And he takes the woman up on this. And this is what's good about this. So let's play this video. You're going to get a big kick out of this.
It's relatively short.
Yeah, it's only 5 minutes. Like I said, like I was saying about this video is a really good video. You're going to really like this video. It's really good video.
Okay, hang on to your seats.
Right. But if the video, I don't know, I guess something crashed or something.
What is interesting that these people don't hold on to the facts.
Yeah.
They just, they don't know the facts.
Hello.
Yes, ma'am.
Am I on the phone?
Yes.
We're going to ramp it up.
And I would like to ask that young man something. How does he expect to find bodies when I was smelling for 4 weeks a bunch of them burning, and my girlfriend was taken and there and putting them in halls, and they were putting paint over and white stuff on them in Birmingham. How does he expect to find bodies?
Well, I want to ask you the question, in which camp were you in?
I was in Auschwitz.
Yes, but which part of Auschwitz were you in?
It's long.
And
Buchenwald.
Can you imagine? She says she was in Auschwitz, and then she called it Buchenwald.
Buchenwald's a camp in Germany. Okay.
That was they were passed off in black, and I'm so upset that I can't even talk and think.
Well, if you say the blocks were numbered. Which number was?
I was in block A. This is what I'm telling you.
You say you were in block A. Where at Auschwitz?
Where at Auschwitz?
Yes.
How many Auschwitzes were there?
Well, don't you know them? There's more than one.
more than one Auschwitz. No, yeah. I just was in one Auschwitz, and I just thought I'm burning the bodies.
Why I have to ask you, I have the map before me here.
Yeah.
And which block were you in at Auschwitz?
Are you questioning the fact that this lady was alive?
I am telling you.
I'm questioning the fact
she lived there. She survived there.
But she can't remember nothing.
I'm trying to find out whether what she's saying is true, and it doesn't appear so. She said she's living in block A.
Yeah.
I mean, the blocks were not... They were numbered, so that's why I asked you which block you were living in, which number, and also which part of the camp. The camp was just not one camp.
Well, now, you don't live on my block,
Steve. How many block A's did you have there?
Well, you should know you'll be there.
I was there, so there was one block A, and that's where I was living in.
Oh, jeez.
I'm telling you, I didn't have a map.
May I ask you a couple questions?
Yes.
How was your swimming clothes? In a nice Olympic size?
Yeah. They took me once, and I thought I'd go into the gas chamber.
Oh, my gosh.
Because if most of the people whom they took, they didn't come back.
How was the food?
The food was that I had to step for my girlfriend on the chest and open her mouth and fill her in.
Well, that's probably because some of you were stealing each other's food, you know. I have Jewish friends, and some of them almost died because some of their other Jewish friends.
You have Jewish friends?
Stealing Jewish friends? Well,
I would like to see your Jewish friends.
Well, let's come back again to the block.
Hold on a minute. I was there, and I was watching them being burned. I was looking.
Which block were you in, and where did you?
You son of a! I don't know.
I'm going to
be black.
I thank you.
Oh, jeez.
I am sorry. I am really very sorry that you had to be so aggravated. But I can tell you,
she doesn't know the answers.
I can tell you that I am not a survivor of the death camp, and I am shaking, and I have developed a headache over this.
How can anybody say anything?
Well, how can you say there was the block A when there was no block A?
Thank you for your call.
All right, so the whole point is this woman obviously didn't know what she was talking about. And the guy, Merle, whatever his name is there, he was an asshole. He was a complete
asshole.
Well,
he interrupted him. He interrupted Felder.
Well, D-Lib was being very kind.
He was.
And not mean to this woman. But this is how it ends up when you have a discussion with Holocaust survivors. That's why you can't. That's why they don't want these people to talk to people like us, because they know, like, if they talk to me, I'd do the same thing that D-Lib did. I'd say, well, okay, so this or that or whatever, and they wouldn't be able to answer. You know, and again, remember, the people today were babies, 5 years old. Maybe at the most, they could have been 10 years old if they're 90, all right, 95 mm-hmm. maybe. But they didn't know what the hell they were doing. The Jews, the problem with this Holocaust stuff, the Jews know it's a lie. They know. I mean, really deep down, they know it's a lie.
That's right.
And, you know, they're going along with the program because they get money from it. First of all, to be a Holocaust survivor today, you know, they stole money from all the governments, that reparation money. I mean, it's not a hell of a lot of money. I think they got like maybe $1,500 or whatever. I don't know what it was, $3,000 maybe. I don't know. Lump sum in the beginning, and then they get paid a couple hundred bucks a month. The people that made the money were the organizations that support the Jews. They were the organizations that made a ton of money on this. Because today, when you really think about all the people that got paid off, now remember, you know, there was a lot of people that got paid off here. And they made, I've heard, up to $80 to $100 billion.
Yeah.
In payments. That's a lot of money. So they just use this lie to extort money from the governments, and not just the governments, but they extort the money from businesses, people that had anything to do to train. If you ran a train, they got money from you because you were in charge of the train that brought people to the camp. You know, if you brought the food to the camp, you probably got, you know, sued or whatever, and they accused you of doing something horrible because you were bringing something in the camp for these people or whatever. And then the banks, same thing happened to them. a lot of them, what happened is they didn't want this to get out. And so they blackmailed the banks or whatever organization that was around at that time. Could have been an industry too, whatever, that supported the whole camp system. And they said, look at, we want our money from you. We're suing you for X amount of money because you people did bad stuff. And it wasn't bad stuff or whatever they doing. They were just supporting the camp system. But again, since they consider these extermination camps, hey, what the heck? We're gonna just go continue on with the lie. That's exactly what they did. Now you notice one thing. I haven't really seen this, if someone could show me it, but as far as I understand, it's only Jews that got reparations, as far as I know. Now, I would think other people probably could have got reparations. I just don't know a lot about anybody other than Jews got reparations. I mean, that's just I never got into it.
No, I don't think so.
No, I think there's something that happened with some other people that jumped on the bandwagon, because they probably saw it was a good bandwagon I would venture to say 95% of the people were Jews that got money out of this, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, to this day. So they got a good thing going. This whole thing for them is really good. Now I got to talk about something else here that I can't remember everything about it. I was going to talk about it tomorrow. I think I wrote it down, but anyway, the Holocaust museums now have jumped on the bandwagon with the Smithsonian.
Oh,
you see what's going on here? Mm-hmm. So in other words, they're trying to now make this Holocaust thing a historical thing with the Smithsonian. Now, why do you think they're going
to
do that?
Well, of course, probably for money, but they're trying to make it legitimate. If there was ever an issue where they created their own museums and such, now if they get hooked up with the Smithsonian, it becomes legitimate history.
That's right. That's why, here's the article here. Jewish History Museum may become part of the Smithsonian. And if it becomes part of the Smithsonian, then what's going to happen is they're going to get funding for their museum from now on.
There you go.
I get it. I mean, this is just incredible to see they can pull this one on people. And there's nobody there to question it. They can do whatever they want. And eventually, probably all of the museums are going to go on and become Smithsonian museums, like a branch of them. Mm-hmm. All right. So there it is, Museum of American Jewish History. But can you imagine a Jewish history becoming something that's going to be taught in the Smithsonian? This is just crazy stuff.
Yeah.
People don't get it, how these Jews are just ripping us off like nobody's business. But one thing I noticed what they've done is they've done a very good job at convincing everybody that the Holocaust was real.
Yeah.
And they've extorted quite a bit of money out of everybody to do it. And nobody questions it. And, that's why I can't debate anybody. How are you going to debate a Holocaust survivor? They're not going to debate you,
Okay, they don't know the facts. They don't know anything.
Okay, we got two people in the green room.
Good,
I guess.
Good.
So who do you want to bring in first? Who do you want to bring in first, Diana?
Hoy to the bay.
Uncle Murray.
How you doing?
Okay, how you doing, Hoaxbusters? I got something different for you this week. Are you ready?
Okay, sure.
I got a great list. Now we're always being accused of anti-Semitism, right? And they refused to actually define it, but someone gave me a great list. So I want to read this list. So this is what you anti-Semites are against, okay? You're against abortion. You're against CBDCs. You're against the central bank. You're against the WEF. You're against WHO, the WHO. You're against Big Pharma. You're against Hollywood. You're against fluoride, chemtrails, usury, human trafficking, war, open borders, white genocide, disinformation, Talmud, protocols of Zion, mainstream media, censorship, holo hoax, the fake pandemic, gun rights abolishment, 15-minute cities, communism, wokeness, LGBTQ, PEIEIO, and CRT. But he left out one thing. He left out circumcision, because circumcision causes insanity. Imagine that.
How do you prove that?
because the glands, the foreskin has over 10,000 nerve endings in it. And cutting, the severing of that causes mental trauma.
Wow.
Imagine that.
Interesting, yeah.
I've heard that before. David Duke talks about that a lot. I've heard that before.
I've never heard that.
How you doing, Uncle Murray? Hey, yeah, there's also a lot of evidence that it reduces a man's sexual pleasure from sexual intercourse, the circumcision, because those nerve endings aren't there to be stimulated.
They have to get their pleasure from other means. Imagine that, huh?
Well, I don't think that happens to everybody who's been circumcised. But,
not everybody, but it's the majority.
But
this is a medical thing, yeah. Yeah, so you go ahead, CB. I just wanted to read that list off.
No,
so
that was a great list. Yeah. That
was know what's coming up.
I agree with you.
Thank you, guys.
I agree with you completely.
Okay.
I love the graphic, by the way, Uncle Murray. That's great.
Yeah. So, CB, what do you got for us today?
Well, I wanted to talk about, just a couple things in the news. I'm sure you're aware of the red heifer. We're going to sacrifice the red heifer. Did you guys see that? Straight from Texas.
No, I haven't seen it.
Did you hear about that, Uncle Murray?
I haven't heard about it.
Yeah, it was on Steve Peters. Check out with Steve Peters.
Yeah, that was a very good video. And your buddy E. Michael Jones was on there. Now, I'm not much of a fan of E. Michael Jones, but I thought he did very well on that interview. So he brought up a couple of things in that interview that I've always known, so even though, let's say, when I was growing up, we were culturally Christian, we celebrated Christmas and things like that, we believed in the Golden Rule, but we didn't go to church or really read the Bible or anything. But I just knew those things as universal truths that just, those are just, let's say, I went to Lutheran school when I was a kid, but we went to church once a week. It was very, like, low-key. But these things that E. Michael Jones was talking about, like, for example, how God sent it was God's will for the Romans to go in and destroy the temple in 70 AD because the Jews are corrupt and they had broken the covenant and ye continue not in my covenant. He talked about that he was absolutely spot on about that. And these lunatic Christian Zionists, which I watched another documentary about them today. I don't know why I bother to waste my time because I already know how crazy they all are. Mm-hmm. They are blasphemers. They are defying the will of God. And this is exactly, why, in my opinion, God's judgment is coming upon the United States, because this country has thrown its lot in with the Jews, and it's literally thrown its lot in with Satan. And what have the Jews done? There's no amount of cucking or kissing their hairy tuchuses that you can do that will ever be good enough. You'll always be a Nazi to them. So they brought on all of these maniacs. I don't know if you saw that video. The guy was, he was like from Venezuela or something. He was yelling and screaming in Spanish, but there were subtitles. And I can understand a decent amount of it. I understand Spanish okay. I don't speak it that well, but I understand okay. He was talking about how all of his gente, his people, are going to come here and use the loopholes to steal people's houses, basically. So, like, there was this case of did you see the woman in New York that with the squatters?
Yes. Yeah, I saw that, yeah.
Police law. I mean, not that was any kind of surprise, but we're going to see more and more of this. And who's bringing these people here? Who's opened our borders? The fucking Jews, as usual. And these asshole Christian Zionists who you could show them every bit of evidence, least of all is the Book of John, chapter 8. And you could show them everything.
Oh, what happened to CV?
What the heck? I think the Yids got him. Oh, you bastard.
There's a squatter at his house trying to come in right now. He had to go to the door to make sure the squatter didn't come in.
Get him, man. Get him.
I hope he comes back.
Since he brought up the squatter thing, I watched that video. That was really maddening to see that they could even allow somebody to come into their house. But see, here's the problem, okay? Because someone asked me if I was worried about my house being empty, if that could happen to me. But my house has a lot of activity. A lot of people are there coming and going and
constantly
cleaning and, constantly. So yes, someone could do that, but see, I was just caught because I got the cameras. I'm watching everything. I just say, someone just broke into my house. What do you want to do? Somebody broke into my house. But the cops, they're always backing the bad people. You ever notice that when it comes to something? It's always the benefit of the doubt for the bad people. Instead of believing the woman, they believe in the bad person. And you could tell the guy's full of shit. You know what I mean? incredible to see that this could even happen in our day and age. And, you know, the way I look at it, that there's a lot of rich politicians that own real estate. Okay. So if it's going to happen to anybody, it's going to happen to them. So good for you. That's the way you're going to get your, you know, just desserts if that happens to you. Then we see if you change any rules or laws. You know what I mean? Let's see what you do then. Right.
Yeah.
All right. CB back in.
Yeah. Sorry about that. My internet dropped off.
Okay. Go ahead. You can continue.
So, yeah, what I was saying is not only, you know, the police are on the side of these scumbags, but the law is on the side of them. And the police, you know, they view us with utter contempt. But getting back to E. Michael Jones, basically what he was saying was, you know, the Jews just refuse to face reality, as do the Christian Zionists. So you could show them everything in the world, all the evidence in the world, that God does not want the Jews to have a state in Palestine. God does not want Jews to run the world, that they are no longer God's chosen people, if ever they were, and that you are defying God's will by trying to force that. So in other words, if God wanted them there, they wouldn't need to be protected by the United States. They wouldn't need our money and our weapons and all that other stuff. The other thing is you're actually spitting in Jesus Christ's face, literally, by worshiping these filthy monsters and their Star of Rem fan, and you're going against everything that the Bible that you claim and profess to believe in is saying.
Right.
So
That's
I think
right.
this is God's judgment is coming upon the United States for continuing to support these assholes. Now we've got all these crazy Haitian cannibals coming here. Ron, the Jew dick sucker Santas claims he's going to stop them. He isn't going to do a goddamn thing. I'm sure the ADL will pick up
before.
The phone.
Yeah.
And the one phone call from Jonathan Greenblatt, and you know they'll threaten him with something. He'll make sure to back down. So this is all God's judgment. You know, basically when you defy God's will and you refuse to accept the truth and you refuse to accept what God wants from you, then that's it. You're done for. And this is what's going to happen. Unfortunately, you know, the rest of us have to sit here and suffer through it with these morons while we try to talk sense to them. But this is what's going on.
We've been saying this for 110 years.
We've seen 110 years of their rule. Right. And what have we gotten for it? Just puppets.
Right. Exactly. Well, and everything the Christian Zionists who claim to be the real patriotic Americans, which they're not, but let's say that the things they claim to be conservatives, well, they're supporting the Jews who support homosexuality, who are behind the whole LGBT agenda. They claim to be opposed to abortion. It's the Jews that are behind the whole abortion thing. It's not Palestinians or Muslims coming over here and saying you have to have abortions. No, it's fucking Jews that are behind all that. So this is everything that they claim to be opposed to is exactly a Jewish agenda, and all these wars and everything. I mean, these people just don't get it. And I think, you know, my opinion, I think all these Muslims and all everybody that's here, I think they're going to go into the Zionist churches. We already see it with the loony left with that shooting at that idiot Joel Osteen's church, you know, about a month ago. They're going to slaughter them. I think it's tragic. I think it's unfortunate, but this is what's coming. And I think they're going to kill all the police in this country, who are another group that's basically asked for it. And then there's not going to be anybody around to protect the Jews and the politicians at that point. But that's just my opinion.
That's right. They kind of set this whole thing up, and I don't think they want to deal with the repercussions of their actions, but that's what's going to happen.
Right.
Yeah.
Right, exactly right.
It's a big problem what's going on. But anyway, get back to E. Michael Jones. E. Michael Jones is great with dealing with the Jews. I mean, he has it all figured out 100%, folks. I mean, there's nobody better than him, and I'm glad he's doing what he's doing to expose the Jews. I just don't like the direction he goes. I don't know how a guy that smart can just go E. Michael Jones's mind, what do we have to do to be saved?
Well, it's not biblical. That's right. It's not going to be biblical.
Well, no, he wants us to get baptized as Catholics.
Despite the fact that he understands the infusion of Jewish presence in the Catholic Church and the corruption, he still thinks the Catholic Church is the answer.
Yeah,
he's just kind of missing. It's right in his face, the Catholic Church. I got no problem with the Catholic Church in theory, but what we have right now is completely wicked, you know?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Well, the church is being run by the demons. That's what it is. But I mean, it's just hard, you know, it's hard for me to understand E. Michael Jones and to see that he would, you know, go that far to say, well, you got to get baptized as a Catholic to be saved. And, you know, and I'm saying, oh, there's so many things wrong with this.
First of all, exactly.
First of all, the baptism he talks about, baptism infants, is not biblical. You don't baptize infants. You baptize people that are old enough to know what they're doing to accept Christ. And so he's really way out and left field on that one. And of course that he's into the, you got to go to confession. There's a thing with the Catholic Church of sacraments. These sacraments you have to do, like you got to go. Confession is a sacrament. You got to go to confession. That's a sacrament. And I don't know all the other crap ones they have, but
communion.
Jim, you were raised Catholic. You know, you're Italian, but like a lot of people don't realize this, and I'm not against the Catholic Church. I wasn't raised Catholic or anything. My feeling is, if you want to be Catholic, fine. That's, as long as you're not hurting anybody, you're trying to force it on anybody. But people don't realize they call it the Roman Catholic Church because it's basically the remnants of the old Roman. That just basically what happened was when Constantine converted.
Right.
That's it. That's why the Pope is called a pontiff. It's short for Pontifex Maximus, which was the high priest of the Roman state religion. And all those, all the different, saints and all, that's just aspects. Not that there are a lot of saints are great. Like one of my favorite saints is Joan of Arc. But they basically, what they're doing is the same thing that the Romans were doing with their pantheon of gods, with all the, that's what the saints are basically took the place of, the different pantheons of gods in there. That's really all it is. And people just don't realize that. And, you look at the Vatican. It sits on an ancient site of Mithraic worship, which is Mithra was an ancient thing into the ancient world before Jesus came. They were worshiping Mithra, and then it's got a big obelisk in the middle of it. I mean, it's all ancient Babylonian occult stuff. That
sounds like it. Yep,
that's exactly. Yep. And then they utilize, like, they put Jesus, like, you've ever seen people have the Jesus fish on the back of their car.
Yeah.
They say, like, okay, well, that was because Jesus took the fish and, made them multiply and fed the whole village in that story in the Bible. But that's actually not what it is. What they're showing you is the symbol for Pisces, because when Jesus came, it was the Piscean age, and now we're transitioning to the age of Aquarius. It all has to do with astrology and things like that, and it's all in the Catholic Church. But they just incorporate all of that stuff in. It was very easy for the Catholics to do that because most people were ignorant. So, they just mix Jesus in with all the ancient Roman pagan stuff. That's really all it is.
Right. Yeah, it's hard to get through to Catholics. On my channel, I talk about every now and then. It's just, I mean, what do you do? They want to believe nonsense, you can believe nonsense. The biggest problem is they don't look at the Bible and see what the Bible says. And if you just read the Gospels and the Book of Acts, just read those two books. You'll understand what Christianity is. Five books. Yeah. And then of course the epistles are pretty good. Getting to those too, but what are you going to do? But I still promote Michael Jones. He would not promote me for anything. There's no way in hell he'd promote me.
He criticizes you, no doubt.
Well, he admits of all the people he's talked to, he had the hardest time with me.
Yeah. Your claim to fame.
I guess I do that to people. Well, I mean, what do you want me to say? And I was nice to him. Mm-hmm. I was nice to the guy. I mean, I really could have nailed him on his church bullshit and said, Michael, really? You going to confess your sins to a priest? I mean, really? I mean, this is what you think is a good thing to do? And yeah, that's what he feels is good. So I don't know. I hope. I really don't have any hope for him with the Catholic stuff, but he definitely is right on with the Jew stuff. So I got to just use him for his Jew stuff and, go from there. That's all I can do,
go ahead. Supposedly now the Jews are going to sacrifice. So they got four of these red heifers this comes from this supposed prophecy. So they have these four virgin red heifers that they have to be like 4 years old or something. And where do you think they got them from? Texas. Probably some Christian Zionist sold them to them. and they flew them over. And I think it's on Thursday, the 28th. There's like this eclipse. I mean, this is all occult shit too. That's another thing. These Christian Zionists, they claim to be against, you know, occult stuff, which is mixed into all the religions. But they claim that, and the Jews are practicing occultism right out in the open, and they have not a goddamn word of condemnation about it.
Right.
So they're going to do this disgusting ritual where they're going to burn this red heifer alive. This is how they do the sacrifice. I mean, can you talk about it? As a Christian, you're supposed to love God's creatures. How awful of a thing could that be to take a calf and burn it alive like that? Imagine the pain that this poor animal is going to go through.
One thing in regard to that, if I may mention, CB, is, of course, the absolute outrage and in your face to God, because Jesus Christ was the final sacrifice.
Right.
There are to be no more sacrifices.
Right.
And so aside from them flinging chickens in New York, and then they've got this red heifer thing, it doesn't matter if it's a red heifer. They're trying to live by a law to do what certainly isn't pleasing God. Because
right.
if they wanted to please God, they'd be believing in Jesus Christ. No, they're pleasing themselves. And like you said, this occult worship that they're doing.
That's right.
But CB, just to let you know, CB, the Israelites, the true Israelites, even though they were wayward, they sacrificed animals, but they killed them before they burned them.
That's right.
In a humane way.
Yeah.
But this is supposed to burn this thing alive.
They kill the animal, and then they drain the blood out of it.
That's correct.
And then they put it on the fire, and then they gave the remains that was cooked to the priest.
That was
their food. So in other words, it wasn't just throwing the thing under fire and killing it. They utilized it, because the priesthood didn't get paid, and the high priest and the priest, Levitical priest, got their food from the sacrifices, and that was the whole day.
Yes. Not anymore.
No, I know.
The other thing, too, that the Christian Zionists refuse to see is that when Jesus came, he also, part of his message was that religion is an institution, and that that's done and over with now. He said, I am the church. The kingdom of heaven is within you. And he gave his sermons on a mount. He didn't go into some building somewhere and put on a dress and do some kind of silly ritual. He basically taught us that God is the – this is another thing. I tell these idiot Christian Zionists, and they refuse – shows you how they're all hypocrites, and the Jews, of course, are the same way. If you really believe in Jesus, then you believe that God is a universal creator. I think this is what I always thought it was, and that you believe that God is the be all end all. God is the Alpha and the Omega, and God is everything in between. Right? God is in everything, and God is the universal creator. So, if that's the case, then the idea that you're going to go into some church and listen to, whether it's some old man with a collar or, with the dress or whatever, with the Catholic, or if it's, some imam, or you're going to listen to some Jew or these Freemason pedophile pastors who are telling you blasphemous lies, and to go and do their agenda, then you're not worshiping God. You're not following Jesus's path, because you're not doing what Jesus commanded of you. That was another thing too that just reminded me that what Michael Jones brought up. He said your conscience is basically God telling you when you're in the wrong, and that's how God speaks to you, is through your conscience. So you know right from wrong because God tells you through your conscience. And these people are ignoring their consciences.
Mm-hmm.
They're going along with this evil. Like, for example, and I'm not saying this to wave a flag for the Palestinians or the Muslims or anything, but we don't want them here, but in their own country, like those poor people who got shot down by the Israeli army when they were running to get something off of the back of a truck. If you call yourself a Christian and you cheer for a bunch of women and children to be gunned down in cold blood when they're trying to get something to eat, then you're not a Christian, plain and simple. You're in league with the devil, as far as I'm concerned, because that's disgusting. How can you cheer for that? It's one thing even if, let's say, they say, well, maybe they thought they were Hamas or something. No, they actually clap, most of these Christian Zionists, and they say that it's a wonderful thing, like it's some kind of a blessing to kill these people. That's cold-blooded murder, and that is against the sacraments.
Right. Yeah. Let me ask you something about, because I don't pay attention to what goes on over Israel, because it's all bullshit, so I don't even waste my time. But anyway, where are they going to do this heifer thing?
That's a good question. They built some kind of an altar they were showing on TV, but I don't know the precise.
Well, who built the offer? The Jews?
The Israelis or the Jews? Yeah.
Okay, so
I'm sure they probably got some goys to build it for them, but
Okay, so you're having Jews that are going to do this sacrifice of an animal that they haven't done this in hundreds, thousands of years, okay, because they got away from the way they were supposed to do things, and yet they're going to do this now. I mean, all of a sudden, now they've seen the light, and they're going to offer up a sacrifice of an animal now without anybody complaining.
Yeah, what about the animal rights people?
Yeah, well, no one's going to complain about this.
These people ignore the UN, so I mean, a few nutty leftists who care about animal rights aren't going to make any difference.
No, that's for sure.
But you think PETA would say something, right? I mean, it's going to be a murder of an animal for absolutely no reason.
Yeah. Yeah, well, again, that PETA organization is probably run by Jews.
Of course, like every other leftist organization.
So they're gonna let this one slip by, you know, and say, in this case, it's good. It's just amazing because the Jews are not, they're doing a thing that the Israelites used to do thousands of years ago, but now they're doing it. You know,
they're claiming that it's supposed to accomplish something, and it accomplishes nothing except spitting in God's face. But they don't care. They're not interested. This is about, like everything else about them, it's about drama. And if you can get particularly Christians to think, well, it was like what happened in the Old Testament, therefore, you know, they kind of reinforce their presence with God, even though it's evil and it's wrong, again, worshiping in the wrong way. Only priests are supposed to offer up sacrifices in certain circumstances, the king. But so this is just drama. This is, you know, and it's very, very, very similar to what you might read in Revelations when the Antichrist is sitting in the temple and the defilement of it. You know, this is getting really close to, like I said, define.
That's exactly what they're trying to do. And the Christian Zionists are so deluded and so sick and demented that they think that this is going to precipitate Jesus's return because it's going to bring about the Antichrist. And what they don't understand is, you know, they were specifically warned, you don't do that. In other words, you don't bring about the end of the world. So they're trying to, or do they think they're going to get floated up into heaven in this silly made-up rapture that Schofield made up by forcing God's hand. So in other words, they're doing what the Jews claim to do, which is again a blasphemy because they're trying to trick God. So again, God is the Alpha and Omega. If God is the beginning and the end, and God is the know-all, be-all, end-all, you're trying to trick God and you're trying to outwit God. Which
good luck with that.
Right, but the Jews teach this, that their best rabbis can beat God in a debate, which is a blasphemous notion in itself, because you're trying to say that a human being can outwit God. So then you're denying God's divinity. And that's what these lunatic Christian Zionists are going along with. And they have the audacity to say that they're the real Christians. Are you kidding me?
They can't be Candace Owens in a debate. And she's hardly...
It also ties in with the Holocaust, because what is the fake Holocaust? What does Holocaust mean? It means burnt offering. So these nutcases have convinced themselves that the fake phony hollow hoax actually not only happened, and will refuse to look at evidence that people like Jim come up with that show that it didn't happen, and that this is some kind of sign from the Almighty that that there was this burnt offering, and that's what we're gonna give another burnt offering. These people are so far gone and so in league with Satan that they're going to literally bring about, and it's prophesied that if this Antichrist comes about before Jesus stops him and destroys him and defeats him, he's going to kill like 95% of humanity, which means these idiot Christian Zionists and their fucking families, most likely. Yeah. They're not going up floating up to heaven in this phony rapture. It's not going to happen.
Yep. What's this thing here? The meaning of the mitzvah to eradicate Amalek. Well, they think we're Amalek.
That's right. They're taking it totally out of context. Anybody who comes against Israel, and they claim to be Israel, which they're not. And so that they are, it's their mission to eradicate Amalek. So that would be us, like you said.
Yeah. Did any of you guys see the Candace Owens thing about her and Shapiro?
Her faux pas.
Yeah.
That was She's interesting.
Your buddy Mark Dice did a pretty good video about it. I mean, I like what Candace Owens does. I don't feel sorry for her because, you know, apparently her husband is worth like $100 million or something. And she was getting paid, right, like $3 million a year or something like that. And apparently he's some kind of a British aristocrat. I don't know if it was Mark Dice showed it, or he has what they call peerage, which means he's a member of the aristocracy. He's, you know, a lord or something like that. And he's worth like $100 million. So I applaud her free speech, and I applaud her for standing up to these fuckers and saying the things that she said. But I also don't feel sorry for her. She'll be fine, you know. Even if she never works another day in her life, she's got more money than most people, you know, 1,000 people put together could spend in 1,000 lifetimes.
Right. Well, I think she's definitely not red pilled in life. That's for sure. She, you know, she saw the other side of the Jew. Okay, and she talked about it, and then Shapiro, again, he's another guy with a lot of money because he's got his whatever business he does with all the internet stuff, and he's just using her. And then I think she finally saw through it, and you can't criticize Israel.
She was their house Schwarza, and then she got too uppity for them, so they've canned her.
Yeah, well, she's on her own now, and you'll see. She'll probably. This will be her thing, you know, as going forward, that she's going to have, you know, have this thing against the ADL. But that's good. I'm glad. I hope she does.
Unless she apologizes like they all do.
No, yeah, hopefully not. Hopefully. Yeah.
She's been hanging tough for a while. I mean, that was in 2020.
So did Kanye. He did too. And then all of a sudden.
He cucked pretty fast. He cucked a lot, like faster than a white Republican at a Holohoax fundraiser dinner. You know what I mean? She's been hanging tough for over 2 years now.
Yeah. Well, you don't hear from Kanye today.
Nope.
Right?
No.
What the hell, what happened to him?
Well, they medically drugged him again, you know? That's what they did back in 2016, right in front of everybody.
The money and the fame was his Achilles heel. Like with Candace Owens, I don't think she's as, like, obviously she has money and fame, but I don't think she's as money hungry and fame crazy as he was. I think she's a lot more intelligent and more rational. I don't think he realized just how in over his head he was getting. I think he thought that his black privilege would protect him, and it didn't. Same thing with Whoopi Goldberg.
It's a real thin shield, let me tell you right now.
Well, one of the problems is that if she were truly hitting the Jews where they live, as is the comment, I'm not sure who said that. Sounds like something Diana would say. She would not get this media attention. She would be slam dunked and censored on every venue if she were doing the right thing. She's not red pilled about Hitler. She doesn't really understand or know about World War II. And again, Jim has said, well, you have to give her credit for what she has done. She's coming to an understanding. It's like Mark Dice.
Diane, I give her credit, but she's only being used.
Oh, that's it's drama.
Diane, not that I'm defending her, but I mean, most people aren't red-pilled about Hitler and World War II.
No, I understand that.
She did say to this rabbi, apparently some other Jew rabbi that tried to basically, you know, tell her she wasn't being a good goy, that she told him apparently Hitler was okay. To which my reaction was, how can she say Hitler was okay? How can she say such a thing? Hitler was fucking awesome.
Can't argue with that. The more you learn, the more you realize that's true.
Exactly.
See, the Jews always bring Hitler into the conversation.
It really did take
track. And you have to succumb to that bullshit. You say, well, did you say Hitler was this or that? And, oh, no, I didn't mean that. No, he's an evil man, bad man.
A lot of backpedaling.
Why is he a bad man? Well, because he killed the Jews. Well, yeah, but he didn't. You know?
He did.
I mean, what do you do, you know?
Yeah.
It's horrible. These people.
Oh, he invaded Poland, is what she said. That was his you know, not knowing, and we talked about that, not knowing the history of why that was necessary, in spite of the fact that would precipitate the war.
Or,
but he had to do it.
Or there weren't things behind the scenes making these machinations happen.
Of course.
You know?
Well, they're doing the same thing with Putin and with the Russians. Now, you said there was this terrorist attack the other day, allegedly. We don't know if it's a false flag or not, but I mean, the first thing like the U.S. government does is come out and say, oh, Ukraine had nothing to do with it. Well, what an odd thing to say. I mean, you know, first of all, did anybody mention Ukraine? Did anybody mention Zelensky? No, like before the fires are even put out. Oh, we know it wasn't Ukraine. I mean, when I was a kid, we had this teacher. I didn't really care for her. But one thing stuck with me that she said, she's a guilty conscience always blurts out. So, I mean, why would you just come out and say it? Why wouldn't you just maybe like lay low and, you know, not say anything? You know, the really, that's another thing, too, is the stupidity of our society now because of this Jewish degeneration. Like if you look at the old time gangsters, not that I'm waving a flag for the gangsters or anything like that, but the old time gangsters, like in the 20s and 30s, they had a sense of honor and they had a code and they were smart about things. Like if you got to whack some guy, you know, make sure to give his wife a couple of $100 a week, which was in those days a lot of money, and pay for the funeral and do things like that. Now you've got all these idiots that have no sense of honor, and they're not even smart enough. The criminals are stupid at this point. They don't even have the sense that the old criminals had to keep their mouth shut, or you know, they just no, he had nothing to do with it. Well, did I ask if he did? I mean, it's so obvious. It's patently.
All they have is a network. They have the network to operate, but they don't have the honor anymore, and it's all going to come crumbling down.
Yeah, honor disappeared a long time ago. There's no honor anymore amongst, you know, and those old school gangsters, you know, they might not have been nice people, but they had a sense of honor. There was a code that they held to. These new generation of scum that we have now running things, I mean, there's just no code to anything. And they're incompetent and they have no honor.
Right. I put a video up about the Germans. Maybe we could talk about it later, but
after the break.
Yeah, we could talk about that later. But
station break.
Well, we're coming up to the hour here. All right. So, what else we got? Anything else, anybody? Because we got about another couple minutes here. If you got something else, if you want to hang on.
I'm going to dip out actually because I gotta do a couple. I'm going to watch the show, but I've got a couple of emails.
Appreciate you, CB. So. Thank you.
Have a nice show. Talk to you soon. Take care, Uncle Murray. Right. Love the graphic.
Thanks, bro. For coming.
Yeah. All right, Murray, you staying in with us?
Yeah, I'm just going to hang out. Thanks, bro.
Okay, thanks. Okay. All right. So we're coming up to the hour, and we want to just thank our sponsors like Money Tree Publishing, folks. And there they are, all the books, best books you can buy. Telling you right now. So 6 Million Fact or Fiction. That's what we're going over right now. A really good book if you want to understand that. Of course, look at all these other ones. Myth of German Villainy. And I have probably 5 or 6 of those books right here with me now. In fact, not only those books are great, but I got Diane. We ended up getting our Holocaust handbooks today.
Actually, they were Joe's.
They were Joe's. He spent $1,200 for these books.
Hard back
books. And I got them right in front of me in a nice little case there. And it's almost all filled up with these books. Mm-hmm. There's about 40 of them, maybe, Diane. What do you think? 50, 40,
I 50? Think, it, yeah, getting close to 50. Yeah.
So anyway, I got those. I don't have much of a library here, except, I mean, I really don't need a library here. I mean, Joe had every book under the sun of everything else in life, and I'm never going to get to that point. But
you don't need to, not with your collection. No, the DVD series that they have here by Dennis Wise, Communism by the Back Door and The Greatest Story Never Told. And everybody at least needs to see The Greatest Story Never Told. There are about 26 or 27 15-minute snippets of various aspects of World War II and the chronological as well, things that we face. Definitely a must to understand, to have a background understanding. And then if you are interested, again, in pursuing this, there are books that we can recommend, particularly about Adolf Hitler, because that's what it's about.
Right. All right. So anyway, Money Tree Publishing, the good people, good books. Try to support the people that are putting the good books out. Again, them, Kodo, Holocaust Handbooks, the Holocaust Encyclopedia. Again, I have that in the other room. I don't have that. I probably should bring that over here. All these good books. We look at. There's no excuse not to have our books in your library. It's not that expensive to do if you're going to have books.
And there's no excuse not to know. There's plenty of information out there that you cannot. It's almost criminal to be ignorant. because you don't need to be.
Right. Yeah. So anyway, thanks again to Money to Be Publishing and Dave Gaheri and what they're doing there. The problem is today, a lot of people don't read anymore. You know what I mean? They don't really.
Yeah, but there's some great DVDs packets there they can watch.
Yeah, no, I know. So hopefully they will continue and start to learn more if they can. All this information is there. I mean, it's just a matter of finding it. Now, you know, to continue on in our conversation here, just I want to bring this up because in case I forget. But Henry Hercoretzi, I guess he gave me an email this week, and he said he was kicked off of YouTube. Right, Diane?
That's what you said. I didn't get that.
Oh, you didn't get that?
Is he back from California?
I would think so. I sent
him an invitation. I don't know if he said he wasn't sure he'd be able to come on this week, but definitely next week.
Right. He said at the end of the month he'd be able to come on. Mm-hmm. So I don't really even know how he made out. He went to the IHR meeting out there. And
in Southern California.
Yeah, so I don't know. I don't know what the hell happened out there. So I'm sure it might have been interesting.
You can expect your overture from Mark Weber about getting back together again so you can be friends.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's like this. I don't mess around with people. It's either you tell the truth or you don't.
If you don't, we're gonna talk about it.
If you're gonna tell me the Holocaust is irrelevant, you're gonna tell me that all of a sudden now you believe that some people were gassed, you know, whatever. Okay, here's a question. If you had to take only two books with you, what would they be?
Besides the Bible?
Uh-huh.
Besides the Bible?
Well, I get only two books.
You're assuming two books, the two books that you would pick from this group of books, I'm assuming, right?
I don't know. I would pick the Odyssey. So,
yeah.
If you want to get a good overall view of history, World War II, the Holocaust, I would recommend my book over here, The Myth of German Villainy. All right.
As one.
If that's the direction you want to go to get a good overall view of that. Now, if you want to just deal with the Holocaust, then obviously The Myth of German Villainy is an excellent, I mean, that's a really good book still, too.
And you're talking about the 6 million factor fiction.
Oh yeah, 6 million factor fiction.
Right.
Yeah. So, you know, it all depends what you want to know. If you want
an overall picture.
Yeah. I mean, it all depends, you know. I mean, I have all these books on my phone. Hundreds and hundreds of books, I guess, on my phone. So, you know,
you got a great ship.
If I ever have to get stranded on an island, of course, if there's no electricity and I don't have a connection that I can plug my phone in, then that's the end of that. Okay. Iliad and Odyssey. I don't, you know, I never really read any of that.
You wouldn't like it. It's based on, I thought it was Roman mythology. It might be Greek mythology. And there's stories. You understand the Odyssey in relationship to one of the individuals that you have spoken about, talking about the Holocaust and life in the camps. One of the individuals, I think, wasn't he the French patriot who hated the Paul Reisinger?
Razinier, yeah.
Razinier. Thank you. Razinier. Didn't he write the book about the actually it was about the Odyssey, but it essentially claiming things that happened that did not.
Yeah. Right. He used that as a backdrop of it.
Yeah. I'm running kind of, I know that I'm wasn't getting, exactly getting, what he said. Yeah.
But, I can't even think of what the name of the book is, but yeah, he wrote a book that was excellent that just used the Greek thing as a
Ulysses. The Lives of Ulysses.
Yes. He wrote a couple like this, but mm-hmm. The Lives of Ulysses, and what he did is he tried to use the background of the Iliad as, and basically that's all I know about the Iliad the Odyssey of the Iliad. It was just about his exploitation of where he went. Everywhere he went, he came back with these marvelous stories, which weren't true. Okay, they weren't true. I would imagine.
Well, in Roman mythology or Greek mythology,
it's Roman mythology. Yeah. It's just basically fantasy. And he used that as an analogy about what they've done with the Holocaust.
Yeah, that's right.
Which is really good. And the way he came up with this is one time he was, remember, he was not a Nazi. He was not for the Germans.
Greek.
But anyway, he was a writer or whatever the hell. I can't remember what he did for.
Oh, Rosanier. Well, he opposed, and apparently he was in the resistance. Was he in the resistance against?
Yeah, he was. Okay. So the point is, he was in the camps. He was in, I forgot, was it Buchenwald?
I can't remember. I think it was Buchenwald, one of the German camps.
So he was in the camp. Mm-hmm. And then he would hear stories about people that say they were in the camp. Now, remember, he's in the camp himself. And he's like saying, well, what the hell camp were you in? Because that's not what happened with me.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? And so then what he did is he went out and he tried to interview these people and talk to these people to find out what are you talking about?
Yeah.
And then he's finding out that these stories are just fictional. You know what I mean? They're not. This is crazy stuff, man. You're telling us stuff that's absolutely insane. And then he writes a whole book about it. See? And
He continues to write book, and then is demonized for doing so.
Yes,
because
there's
a myth about the Holocaust. He did a book about that, and there are just numerous. He just couldn't stop because in the face of such bold-faced lies.
Yeah. So he was really, I would say, the first revisionist that really to get to question the Holocaust. You know, because the books he wrote and the people he talked to, and but nobody, you know, they really gave him a hard time.
Yeah,
you know, I think he wrote these in the 60s and 70s, way back.
Arthur Butz also didn't. He was in the 70s, wasn't he, when he wrote the?
I think 75 maybe. I don't know.
The myth of the what was not that
his book? The hoax of the 20th century.
Hoax of the 20th century. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. So. Again, this is way before things really started getting cooking about the Holocaust topic. And I really think that the reason why they came up with all these movies and all that crazy stuff about the Holocaust was maybe because they come against these books.
That's maybe.
I wouldn't doubt it, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, they always, like even now, they're coming up with these stupid movies about the Holocaust. Like I told you,
The Tattooist.
The Tattooist. I mean, give me a break. The Tattooist. And then they have one here about what's the other one? It's called. It had to do with the commandant of Auschwitz and his family, but it had nothing to do. It didn't get into the camps like they usually do, talking about killing people and all that. This movie did not even touch any of that stuff. It just got into the family and how this family lived right next door. Okay. And they were just oblivious to all everything, you know, nothing affected them. See, they're making the family look like they're numb to suffering, you know, like
almost sociopaths or psychopaths even, because they've claimed that Germans would have to be psychopaths to have killed Jews. Right. I don't know. That's not the mystery there to me,
right.
But that they would be, like you said, oblivious to the sufferings of others. That's a psychopath.
But the movie didn't get into anything about the camp and anything bad happening there. It's their way of dealing with it to not deal with it.
Inferring. Inference of, I think that's the word, where you have to use your imagination that things are going on, but they were oblivious to it because they're just, that's just what a psychopath does. And so it's a lot of inference about.
Yeah. I think the main character, the German main character was Huss in his family. Huss.
Yeah.
You know? And, you know, that's what it was about. I mean, I can watch it on my streaming platform here, but I have no interest in it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I don't really like to watch those movies, to be honest with you, because it's so bad. I mean, you're watching this bullshit and it's like, oh no, I gotta.
Another one.
It's just Holocaust porn. That's all it is. It's Holocaust porn.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
So, it's hard for me to watch that stuff. And you know, if someone wants to talk about it, you want to tell me about it, you can watch it and tell me what you think about it. But, you know, when you're presenting something that didn't happen and saying whatever you want happened, it's bad. I mean, what are you doing?
You know the difference. You know that it's a lie and it's being perpetuated every time. It really is difficult to watch something like that. I'm not interested.
Yeah. And that's how I view them. I don't waste my, I like to watch stuff that's informative, that's going to give you information. Now, there is a site that someone actually brought it up to my attention on BitChute. The fellow has a YouTube channel. I can't believe this. And I can't show it to you because it's in my bookmark. Okay. But anyway, it's called the Zoomist something, whatever. I can't even remember it. But it's all about the Germans. And I was watching before I came on the show here, it was about this the SS. How the SS came into play, you know, who the SS were. Because, you know, a lot of people, they make up stories about all these organizations that were in Germany at the time. And there were plenty of them. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they'll say, well, the SS did this, so the SS went out and killed all these people. Look, the SS were the protection forces of the government. They protected the government people. That's what the SS were. There wasn't initially, a hell of a lot of them.
Initially. Okay?
Yeah. Okay, so that's what they were. They actually, I get, you know what, the way you got to look at the SS, they were like the state troopers, you know, in a state. Like Massachusetts has state troopers.
National Guard.
Not the National Guard as much as state troopers. The state troopers protect the politicians and all that type of stuff. You know what I mean? That's what they were. Okay?
Well, that's how they started out until Hitler got rid of the SA leadership. Then the SS stepped up and took charge.
Yeah. And then again, we have another different group, the Gestapo. Okay.
That's part of the SS, but
yeah. But the point is, people, you know, they have all this bullshit about the Gestapo. Oh, they went out there killing everybody and doing this. No, again, the Gestapo were there. They were like, would be considered Homeland Security. Mm-hmm. That's what the Gestapo was.
That's a good point.
If they knew something was going on with somebody that was going to disrupt the way the government was going, mm-hmm. all right, that's what the Gestapo was. They'd go out and I don't even know if they had uniforms.
They had the toy. If you recall on Hogan's Heroes, they had the long leather trench coat.
But you notice they make them look like they were the ones killing people and torturing people now. That really wasn't their job. They were there to stop something from happening.
Yeah.
You know, to investigate it. You know, so everybody has all these crazy views of the SS, the Gestapo, the regular army. I mean, there's a whole bunch of order to Germany in the arms, the armies, and all this and that. They weren't all the same.
No, they weren't. They had different functions.
They had different functions.
That's right.
And people don't understand the functions, and they make up stories about them, you know, saying they did this, they did that. And people, you know, they always have stories about the Gestapo. You know, the Gestapo did this and they did that. No. So that's why this video, maybe if I can remember to put the link up, Diane, remind me when I do this video, when you get it up, I can put the link to that guy's YouTube channel, because
that'd be good.
It was incredible, all the videos he had there about Germany. Mm-hmm. And see, what's interesting too is he doesn't like give you his opinion. He just presents what they did, and then you come to your own conclusion, and that's basically what he does, you know, there. So anyway, okay, we're moving on. Anybody coming in? Anybody talking? Anybody want to say something or what? I don't want to keep talking.
Do we need to proceed with your videos?
Well, if we're all set with, there's nobody wanting to come in the green room, we can move on, okay? Okay, let's get into some other topics. Yeah, this is a good topic.
That is interesting.
Yeah, so what's happening here in Massachusetts is, of course, the refugee problem is a big problem now, and it's costing a lot of money. And they got to figure out how to deal with this. And now, you know, in Boston, they made a big deal about the refugees coming in to certain neighborhoods, and everybody's complaining. But now, all of a sudden, oh, it's not so bad. We have no problem with them, whatever. See what they've done? They've just minimized the whole thing, making it like there's probably, there could be no problems. I'm not saying, but we still got to pay for them. Mm-hmm. All right. We there's millions of dollars that are going to help these people.
75 million looks like.
Well, in this batch.
Yeah. In this batch in Boston. Yeah. This that doesn't explain that the total amount that's being,
I don't know if you want to scroll down and we can look at the article, but yeah, they're going to spend, this is just the beginning of this expenditures here. My goodness.
Yeah.
You know, what they're going to do with these people. And, you know, again, who are these people really refugees? I really don't think they are. You know, I think they're just bringing them here to just have something to say, you know, to spend the money on them. And you know, you have to understand how the Democrats work. It eventually, this is all votes and money for them.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Build up their base.
Yeah. I mean, I think eventually they're going to give them the voting rights, you know.
Yeah.
I don't see why they wouldn't, you know.
It's worse than that, Jim. They gave them the right to have weapons. Imagine that.
I saw that. I couldn't believe it.
For decades, they've been trying to take guns away from us. But these guys walk over the border and say, these people, they must have the right to have weapons. You idiots are just insane with your gun crap. Just stop it now.
Oh, yeah. Can you imagine when, again, all the people coming in, mostly are young men, all right, it's 18 to whatever age they 40, are.
Military 40, age.
Okay, the military age. Okay. Yeah, so... Yeah, they're bringing them in because honestly, this is what I think. I think they're building up a potential army. Eventually, they're going to have an army
to come after us.
Yes. Oh yeah, I think that's what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's going to be interesting to see how he deals with this. You know, because I haven't heard much. Again, I don't watch the news too much on even on the internet. I don't really get into too much stuff.
What's going on with Trump?
What's his view towards about you know towards this? What's he? Saying
I know about? What he says, but what will he do?
Well, I just think he's just telling the people what they want to hear.
That's right. That's right, okay? Diana.
And they you know he's telling people that you know, he speaks forked tongue, as they say.
Forked tongue, both sides of his mouth. Yeah.
When he talks to the Jews, he's all for them, and he's going to protect them from anti-Semitism. Gonna protect these Jews from people like us, right?
That's a Holocaust deniers.
Yeah. Then he goes to a Christian meeting, all right, and he's gonna tell, oh no, I'm gonna be protecting you people, you Christian people, you know, from the Jews.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the way it would be, yeah, right? I'm gonna protect you from the Jews because the Jews are gonna come after you, Christian people. It's so silly, you know. But I really think, you know, I don't know who they're going to run against him. I don't know. You know, I think Trump, is probably going to win. I think a lot of the Democrats are so fed up with what's going on, but still, it's not going to be positive for us. Who it's going to be bad for us. Eventually, you know, a lot of people are going to say, oh, he's doing good. And he's going to do this for us. Oh, no. He's doing good for the party that put him in there. And the Jews that put him in there. That's the only thing Trump cares about. He's, you know, he's not a nice man. I'm just saying. Okay? He really is.
Not honorable. He's not an honorable man.
Now, I did see something today. I don't know what's going on with it, but who's the other guy, the Indian guy that's running against them?
I know who you talk about. I have no idea what his name is. Myer, Masha.
Ramaswamy.
Yeah, I guess. Whoever he is. Well, anyway, they're bringing all these other, you know, people that they might even talk a good talk. They might even talk about being against the Jews. But you can't get in the politics up that high and not have that happen. You know what I mean? You can't do it, you know? Okay, we got somebody in the green room. Let's see what we got in the green room. Rick, I guess, huh?
Yes, sir. Speak, Rick.
Hello. Hi, Rick.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Loud and clear.
Oh, I still hear Jim talking. It's like.
Well, turn off your radio.
Yeah, my radio's off. I'm just talking to you through the computer.
Okay. Unless you have another source on, because you'll have an echo.
Can you say something? Are you there?
Are you there, Rick?
Go ahead, Rick.
Okay, I'll just make a couple of comments about things you've been talking about. You know, those tattoos that people see on their arms, you know, those were bank account numbers.
You think so? How do you figure that?
Do you hear it?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Well, that's an interesting idea.
I never heard that either.
No, I never heard that either.
Well, because first of all, you have to remember those people knew the war was coming, and when things started being destroyed, you would lose your paperwork. You would maybe lose. You wouldn't be able to remember your number, and so, yeah. Well, now you're hearing it today.
Right, but I don't agree with you because
I don't either.
Do you understand how you ever look at a bank account number? How many numbers there are in it? There's probably at least 10 numbers. Okay. I don't know. I can't hear you. I don't know what to think.
Don't know what to think. Oftentimes people only had 4 digits on their arm or claimed to have 4 digits.
Well, 4 or 5. They had a number. I mean, they had a letter.
And yeah, then we got a real bad feedback and double talk problem here. It's really difficult. Yeah, but I'll just say this much.
We're not having it.
Yeah, I think it's on your end, not our end.
Yeah, I'm okay. Let's see what happens here.
All right, go ahead, Rick.
Okay, I think I solved the problem.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, okay.
You might have 2 windows going.
So what do you think the tattoos on their arms are for then?
Identification as well.
Well, it would be identifying them so that when if they went from camp to camp or wherever they went, all their clothes would have been marked with that number and everything. So it kept them in a loop.
The problem with that, though, is these tattoos were supposed to only have been done in Auschwitz and largely related to their working in the various factories around Auschwitz.
Right. So if someone was in Dachau and they had a tattoo, that would be a lie because they didn't put tattoos only Auschwitz. Yes. They claim. Now I'm getting to the point now. I don't even know if any tattoo is true anymore. I mean, but
there's so little real information. I mean,
it doesn't matter anyway. Yeah. But I don't, you know, it makes sense. It doesn't make sense because where's the tattoo machine? How did it work? You know,
what was the ink? What was the tattoo?
Yeah. It would take a while to tattoo. I mean, you had, according to them anyway, thousands and thousands of people coming into the camp, every day.
They'd still be getting tattoos today. Yeah. How long
would it take to put a tattoo of 5 letters of numbers or letters, whatever the hell it is, on a person? I mean, a minute, 10 minutes, 20 minutes. I mean, really?
Different. A tattoo is different than a brand. A brand might take 15 seconds, 30 seconds. But right. A tattoo is very different.
Yeah. So that's why I got a problem with it. And plus, anybody that shows you a tattoo today that's 80 years old or 85 years old, that would be a lie.
Because
they were just babies. They never tattooed.
Kids.
They wouldn't have tattooed kids.
No.
Okay, first of all. And, it's just another money-making scheme that the Jews have used to get their ticket to ride, literally.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, they would show that tattoo. You know, getting on a bus.
They'd show their tattoo like this and here, all over.
Yeah. and they you didn't get it. Look at it. The tattoos are supposedly on the arm here.
Inner arm, about that big.
Yeah.
Same part, same size, same font. Yep.
Yeah. No one's really got into the tattoo thing because there's nothing to know about it. Because there's not, you know, we don't have anything to show what they used to do it with. And even if they did, show me how it works, you know?
I guess we're looking forward to that new movie then, huh?
Yeah. Well, look at the movie's obviously going to be just so much bullshit. It's just going to be horrible. Did this fellow Rick leave? He left?
He might have dropped out. Yeah. It's too bad. I was wanting to make his point completely.
Well, yeah, I want, you know, the Tattooist of Auschwitz. That's the name of the movie. Go bring it up. The Tattooist of Auschwitz. Let's watch maybe the commercial. If it's on YouTube, they're going to show you a commercial.
You presented that last time, I think.
Did I?
Yeah.
Oh.
I was sobbing in my beer if I drank beer and if I saw it.
Well, no, they bring these movies out. And it's just so stupid. You know, like, come on, folks, really? You know, you're inventing these things.
I'm sending Diana your tattoo picture with a license plate. So maybe she can put that out. And this is just as real as the ones they're showing us today.
That's right. We'll show you a tattoo that I actually had. Okay, folks.
I just sent it to Diana. I don't know if she got it.
So this is my tattoo. You'll see that.
Yeah.
I did a whole video on tattoos. I just can't find the video. I mean, I'm talking a funny one. I did a funny one on it, and I don't know what the hell happened. It's in a video, but I don't know what video it's in because I did, you know, funny thing about it. Okay. So there you go.
I think she's bringing it up. There we go.
There's my tattoo right there. Look at Massachusetts. There's my number right there.
And letter. You got a letter with yours too. Look,
I even had the clothes. You could tell I was in Auschwitz.
You know what I mean? Mr. Jim Rizzoli, we would like to announce that you just won the lottery, the Holocaust lottery.
What are you going to do next?
Yeah,
to Auschwitz?
Yeah. So anyway, I did, like I said, a whole video on this. I don't know where the hell it is.
Oh, it's probably one of those scribes you have.
Yeah. All right. Okay. I'm trying to think. I wanted to cover certain points. I already covered about Henry Herkovitz, how they took him off of YouTube. Let's see, we got some. Oh, Rick's back again. Okay, Rick, you might be having problems with your internet.
Yeah.
Okay, how am I coming in now?
Great.
Good. Okay, yeah, I had the page still open or something. I don't know exactly what happened with it, but I've heard from other people over the years that this was even in Las Vegas in a casino where one. You made the comment that it was a good possibility. It was, you know, bank account number. Now, I don't know how many people have we seen that claim they've been in Auschwitz had that tattoo on their arm. I mean, Eli Wiesel didn't have it.
No.
That's because he was a kid at the time.
Yeah. Well, then why didn't they, if it was for identification, then why didn't he have one?
That's right. That's right.
You know, but yeah, I'm just saying, I'm just suggesting that this could be a possibility.
Well, but again, you got to understand how banks operate. Okay. You know, banks have 10 digit, I think it's a 10 digit number.
9 or 10.
Well, okay. They could, whatever. I don't know exactly, but it you got to remember back in those days, they had assets. And so if you want to hide them, you got to be able to find them and you got to be able to prove that you own them. Because once the bombs start dropping, you're just as screwed as everybody else.
I don't think a number on your arm would be enough to choose.
Well, it would be a number. It would be enough if you could remember the account number in Switzerland.
Hey, they just took the Germans' property anyway. They didn't even have to prove it. So.
They took anything. You would get it back.
I'm talking about the Jews, not the Germans.
I am too. The Jews took the Germans' property after the war. It didn't make any difference whether it was theirs or not. They absconded it.
Yeah, no one tells you that. Where do you think the Jews got the? Where do you think the Jews got the property?
Yeah,
they got it in all their businesses.
You know, that's how.
Well,
where do you think they got their businesses?
You got to go way back. Okay, let's go back to World War I. Okay. Are you familiar with the Treaty of Versailles?
Oh, yeah.
And the Weimar Republic.
Okay. So what happened is when Germany lost the war, they had to pay reparations and they were bankrupt. The country was, everybody's bankrupt. No one had any money or whatever. And a lot of the Germans either had to sell their properties or whatever. I mean, like pennies on the dollar.
Yeah.
Okay. And guess who bought it all up?
Obviously the Jews.
Yeah, obviously it's right.
So the Jews, they stole their property. That's basically what it was. Okay. And now they have the property, the houses, real estate. They have their art, the paintings and all this. And then at the end of the war, look what happened. Even it goes to today. They bitch and moan. They lost their artwork, which they stole from some German.
Yeah.
And they're looking for their artwork because it's worth, you know, millions of dollars today. But no one talks about how the Jews got what they got. No one talks about
it. It's the same as it is today. I mean, take a look at the sprawling apartment complexes in Las Vegas, Nevada. Who do you think owns them?
Right.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean, just go down the list. I mean, the list that what the Jews don't own now in this country is a short list. You know, it's much easier to dictate what they don't than
I tell people. I say, just show me what they don't own.
That's right. I mean,
that's how I deal with it.
Shorter conversation. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I just got a notice that Ann Arbor's got heavy snow piled up on roads. That's where Henry lives.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. As plows tried to keep up to help drivers stay safe. First of all, if it's going to be snowing like this, why in the world are you out on the road?
Yeah.
So I'm hoping.
Yeah, we had nice 70-degree weather today. So
we're not too worried about snow.
Jim, we're kind of like you located in Texas geographically.
Well, I'm in East Texas. Okay, the closest place I'm going to give to you is I'd say
Tyler
or Henderson in that area.
How far are you from the Rio Grande Valley, like McAllen, Texas? How many hour drive?
Oh, just way out west.
That's way down south.
Are you kidding? Texas is so big that for me to go to the west of Texas is like me going to Massachusetts.
From here.
Oh, holy crap.
That's how big Texas is. Right. So when someone says, well,
do you know Joe in Texas? Well, he lives there somewhere.
Well, you know, if you go way out, oh, man. It's 1,600 miles either way. If I can go back to Massachusetts or I go out west to Texas.
Go to El Paso.
El Paso.
What can you buy a mobile home for down there or a house?
It depends on what you want to work on it.
It all depends. I mean, you can get a nice mobile home. You know, right now.
$50,000.
Oh, yeah. The property here, you got to understand. You're talking acreage, right? Right, but I'm just saying.
Yeah,
Diane, you got to put the mobile.
Yeah, put the home on somewhere. Yeah, okay. Exactly.
So you know, a mobile home, you can get a decent mobile home for $80,000, $100,000, a really nice one.
That would be really nice.
Okay, and a piece of land, you could pick up an acre of land for $10,000, easy. All right,
but you'd have to do your own well, right? And then you'd have to bring in your.
Well,
own
you got to put a septic. Yeah, you got to put a septic in, and if you are on a piece of land that has electric and water, you're all set.
You're probably near a town that you can get city water. Likely, really? Like Jim says, you have to put a septic system in. And that sounds probably horrible to city people, but it's something that you get the right kind. Then it's not an issue. It doesn't need a lot of service, but electricity. Yeah. Most places aren't that remote. Even in rural Texas, they're near some town that's somewhat municipal and has municipal services as well.
Yeah, we're pretty rural, but we've got all the services. But the thing about being down where we are, there's no building code stuff here. You could do whatever you want with your property. You know, I mean, you want to have a septic, so you got to put a septic in. And, you know, if you have water and electric, you're all set. But it's tough. Here's the problem here. It's tough to get small acreage. Okay.
Yeah, that's true.
It's like Diane's got a 3/4 acre. Now it's big. I mean, you know, you, To me, I was living up in north on a quarter acre, all right, and that includes the house. Okay, so a quarter acre. My house is 100 feet long, you know, going back from the property. So, so acreage is a big thing because, you can find small acres, 5 acres, maybe 10 acres, but it's hard to find like an acre. You can find it, but it would be in the middle of nowhere, probably, and no electric, no water.
You start totally from scratch, but I don't think it's out of the question. Or if you have family and they put you on their land, how about Green Acres? Not even with Green Acres, for example, you had to climb the telephone pole to make a phone call if you were called.
Right. Well,
that remote.
We're very for Diane really made out like a bandit on this thing because she was renting her land. Okay, and she had a house on it that they put on it, you know. So the people, what happened with them, they needed money. And they were selling the land.
The lady who owned the property died.
Yeah, she died. And what happened is it was really dumb for them to do this, but they really needed money. And Diane's piece of land was in an acreage of 15 acres. All right? So they parceled that 3/4 acre out. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's just to her, and she bought it like for $4,000, mm-hmm. right? That's something good. Like
that. $4,500, yeah.
So she spent $4,500, and she got her acre, but it's in the middle of 15 acres, and the guy next to us got 15 acres. The guy across the street from us got
45 or 50.
Yeah. So in other words,
what is an acre of land, Diane, go for right around your area? Let's see, you wanted to buy 10 acres.
It's $10,000. $10,000 now.
An acre now.
An acre.
About doubled. Yeah.
$10,000. Okay. See, we wanted to buy the 15 acres
next to us. Yeah.
Okay. Because, see, that acreage goes behind us. Like my yard, her yard, the acreage behind us is that guy's acreage.
That's also part of his. Yeah.
He bought it. He got it for a song. All right. And we didn't really know about it in time, right, Diane? I guess.
Right. Well, just when we were going to call the realtor who was on the sign, the sign was down. There was another sign up, and then we ran into our next door neighbor. Explained that it had already been sold.
Yeah, we just missed it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Hey, so I would have bought it.
Thanks for taking my call.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
All right, very good. Thank you.
Bye.
Okay, so anyway, anybody else in the situation room that we can talk about?
Situation room.
Because if not, we can go to my videos. We can take a look at some of the things that have been going on there. And, we can talk about a housing situation, what's been going on there too, Diane, right? We've got a really interesting situation here because I'm trying to sell my house and, we've been dealing with that all week. And things have been going pretty good. But anyway, since you got this up, we've been talking about our housing situation in our walk and talks. Mm-hmm. So if you really want to hear what the hell's going on.
The progression of it, yeah.
Just go into the walk and talks. We could talk about some of the, there's my walk and talk I did today, today. And then talked
about it. I was with you on that one.
Yeah.
Okay, you've spoken about these two. Video, the three videos there. You've spoken about them.
Well, right. But that German video, again, I didn't really say much about it, but people have to understand that Germans were a big part of America. Mm-hmm. In fact, they made the biggest population of America, Germans, back in the 1850s when they started coming over here. That's when they really started coming over. And but the problem with the Germans, okay, that people don't understand is when they came over here, they align themselves up with the North.
The Union, yeah.
And you get, remember, in the 1850s, the war happened in 1861, whatever the hell it happened.
Yeah, 61, okay. 60 to 64.
Okay. So the Germans, for the most part, aligned themselves up with the North, and the North was Marxist government. It was a real, you'd consider it a communist type of government, Lincoln. See, a lot of people don't understand that Lincoln and all the people that worked for him, his cabinet and all these type of people, they were Marxist. All right. So, were they German Jews? Yeah, I'm sure they were.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. You know, there were German Jews, yeah. But when the war happened, they ended up being on the north side fighting for the north. And, you know, that's the way it was. But people don't get it either, that the South was really the Patriots.
Yeah.
The North was the aggressor. They were the Marxists. All right. The South were just defending themselves against the North because the North wanted to just steal everything from them. And that's why the Civil War basically happened.
And they eventually did.
It did. I mean, they wanted, see, the South paid for everything, all the taxes, pretty much. They were paying everything. And the North was just exploiting the South. And that's, you know, what are you going to do? Jim, my great-grandfather bought land in Henderson. He was an Irish immigrant. He died from the flu. All right. Well, yeah, I suppose, you know.
I wonder if he had anything or the family had anything to do with the Alamo and fight with, because they had a lot of key people that came through this part of Texas that were had fought in the Alamo. And then I guess they beat Santa Ana at one point.
Okay, let's see what this says. Yeah, we're 20 miles from Nacogdoches. That's an interesting town. And Tyler, we're in the middle of it all.
But there's always a small town that has facilities that people need, like water. And we're not in the county, but we are considered part of this particular small town.
Right. Yeah. But, you know, it's really funny living here. It's really, you know, like all the trees got the leaves on them now. Mm-hmm. Okay. We're always 2 months ahead of Massachusetts. So today was 70. It was a beautiful day today.
Yeah.
70. You know, and now it's just going to get warmer and warmer. And then by
cools off at night, though. And then again, it warms up.
You leave your windows open at night. I leave my windows open. Mm-hmm. There's no problem. I actually like it cool. And, so the weather is going to get warmer on by July, August. It'll be in the hundreds.
It can. Not 90, 80s and 90s. Yeah, at least. Yeah.
Yeah. So I just like it because there's no snow. I mean, I got rid of my snowblower, you know, up there. Obviously, I didn't need that here. All the shovels. Everything got thrown out. The whole house has been completely evacuated.
Yeah.
All right. Everything. I mean, I just couldn't believe what
never looked so good.
I mean, they just took everything out of this house. And today we had a good piece of furniture. I call it a credenza.
It's probably a hutch.
Hutch. Yeah. It's a hutch. That's what the name of it is. It's a hutch. And we put it out because we put a lot of stuff out and a lot of people took it. And that was really good.
That's just how you get rid of your furniture around there.
We had a ton of stuff out there and people took it. And today we had the hutch out there in a bed spring. And it was a good bed spring. Nothing wrong with it. It wasn't dirty or nothing like that. And I guess they don't take bed springs in the dump. They make a big deal about it, I guess.
The box spring, and then you got the mattress, and then you've got
the spring. The problem is today it started raining. So that means the box spring got all wet. Everything got wet. The hutch was getting wet. But some guys I saw at 4 o'clock today, they came and took the hutch. The bigger, and we would have had, or somebody would have had to break that up in pieces.
Yeah, that would have been
that would have been awful. So sad.
It would have.
Yeah, because that Joe bought that. Me, Joe and I went up to Maine, and when I had a van, and Joe bought that hutch at one of these Maine, not thrift places, but.
Probably antique stores.
Yeah, like an antique type of store, you know, how they do it up in Maine. And, you know, he bought it up there for $200 20 years ago. I mean, that thing was solid wood, maybe cherry or something. Walnut, I don't know what the hell wood it was, but boy, it was good wood. Okay. Mm-hmm. I mean, you'd have to pay to have this made today $1,000.
Probably four drawers or four covers.
Maybe more. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, someone came up and picked it up. It was getting rained on. But, you know, I had a finish off, so it probably didn't really soak in. Mm-hmm. And they picked it up, took it away, and now we just have to worry about the bed spring. And there was another little table thing out there.
Yeah, so. It was an end table. Like, I think somebody took that, didn't they? I thought they
had. I don't know. I haven't looked.
Okay.
Yeah. So we've been completely everything gone. I mean,
cleared out.
And the house looks great. And they're going to come and clean it. And then they're going to clean the yard. And I'm going to get it really looking good. And, you know, hopefully I'll get some really good money for it. Because it's, you know, not many people.
It's looking good. Looking very pristine.
Well, it's going to look good. But contrary to the people that wanted to steal it from me, they just in the beginning, because I didn't know anything about real estate much about it, how much the house was worth. I really didn't, you know, think about it. And I almost let it go for $150,000 less than it's worth. And someone would have made a bundle on that. They would have bought it. They would have cleaned it up a little bit and they would have sold it and made a good $100,000 on it.
Shortly after that last batch were trying to abscond from you, your house, we started getting information about its true value.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so anyway, we'll get back to some of these videos we put up. Yeah, again, if you want to watch all our videos of us doing the walk and talk, we talk a lot about it. Okay, here's we didn't start the fire. That's a catchy. Anybody ever see this video? It's a really good video. If you don't know anything about history, this video was the one about history. If you want to play it because we got
it's under 4 minutes.
Yeah.
We didn't start the fire, but when we were gone, we
All righty, that was kind of a good little video.
It says, we didn't start the fire. It was already burning. Yeah. So I think that's what the lyrics are saying.
Yeah, that's fire. a Billy Joel. But the thing is, how many people can say they remember all those things?
I'm afraid when they started in the 60s, 50s and 60s, we kind of did.
Well, no, but I'm just saying, I mean, it started in the 1950, yeah. The song started, right? So I was born in 52, mm-hmm. and I remember things happening. I remember we had a big hurricane around 3 or 54. I just remembered that.
Wow.
Well, what happened was, I was just really a little baby, but I just remember something about that. It's just weird how I remember that, how the hell would a kid that young remember
what
that?
What was the precipitating factor? What bothered you that it caused you to remember that?
Well, no, I think I was in my dad went out in the car and I was in the car with him.
Oh,
that's what I remembered. I mean, really, it's just really weird. I don't remember hardly anything like that, but yeah. I just remembered I felt I was in the car with him and he was driving around and doing something. And, it was really bad. It was a really bad hurricane.
Sure it was. And you guys shouldn't have been out there, just so you know.
Well, whatever. But, it did a lot of damage. It made a swath through Worcester.
I'm sure.
And then, came through Framingham too, I guess. And did a lot of damage. So anyway, yeah. But the point I'm making is that most people, you talk to people today, they're never going to remember Kennedy being assassinated. You got to be at least what, 60?
Well, that happened in 63. So yeah, you had I like the comment, the person. Yeah, this isn't, I do not want to make comment about that song. I mean, they included so much in there, very fast paced, but I didn't see I Love Lucy in there. If you don't have I Love Lucy, I'm sorry. You just didn't make the grade.
Okay. Yeah. But no, that was,
that's
I said,
amazing.
That was a good, because Billy Joel is a Jew, blah blah blah.
Well, I like a lot of his songs, Uptown Girl.
Well, no, he was a good singer. I mean, Billy Joel's got to be what? He's going to be 78 today. I mean,
they're maybe dying awfully young. The entertainers are.
Wouldn't you say Billy Joel's probably 80?
Could just does do he a even song? Know he's old? He's Billy, we know.
Oh, yeah, we know he's Jewish because he's Jewish.
Billy Joel's age 74. Good job.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I thought he was older. Well,
right on there.
I know, but he's not that much older than me.
No, he's way older than you.
he's only 3 years older.
3 years. Than me. It'll be 3 years. I know.
That's crazy. So, anyway, if you're in your 70s, a lot of the stuff you would.
This is a story of our life. You know that?
Yeah. Right.
We sum up our life in under 4 minutes.
Right. So now we have another one that we're going to play, okay, because we only have a few minutes, So I'm going to play this one now, and then we can.
That will finish off the show.
Finish off our show. So, Diana, if you could bring that one up. This is a good one, too. This is a little different on the same theme kind of thing. It's a nice song with stuff, good stuff. Why do you trust these liars? So let's play this one's 5 minutes. Will take us up to probably the end of the show, pretty much anyway. So let's see what this one is. Same song.
I wonder if you would recommend locking down schools if you had to do it all over again.
You're okay. You're not gonna get COVID if you have these vaccinations.
First of all, I didn't recommend locking anything down.
People do not get sick.
I recommended to the president that we shut the country down.
Night comes zooming level plane, missing curves, space is gay, Boston bombing falls, flight Joe Biden torpedo. Dr. Fauci always lies, Stevie Wonder is a blind fake career, we shall see it down the rabbit hole. Bill Bilderbergs, fake fan, Michael Palmer, huge down bar, and the Kenyan guy has your wife identified. Warp speed, vaccine, J&J, ultra genes, might go. Kiss your sweet ass goodbye.
Why do you trust these liars? You must be discerning, cause the world's not turning. No more astronauts or wires. This world is ringing in all, we know it's time we explode. At the bottom, NSA, CDC, and TSA, IRS, CIA, and that's a razor crack. SpaceX, Space Force, space is clearly fake, of course. Devon Island is Mars, Elon Musk is launching cars. Einstein was a queen, 2 more weeks of quarantine. Jussie Smollett, fake attack. George Floyd, swallow crack. Said he couldn't breathe at all, overdose from fentanyl. ALC and Alex Stein, perfect booty. So far.
Why do you trust these liars? You must be discerning, cause the world's not turning. No more astronauts or wires. We're not sick of these clowns, let's get the circus shut down.
Bin Laden in the sea, Robbie Parker smiling. Epstein didn't die, flight logs are classified. California communist, you send Trump's the list. Mask your kids, stay inside, for your help from aldehyde. You know nothing, eat bugs, world economic thugs, Klaus Schwab, Castro, piss on Justin Trudeau. Psychos, the elite, Bill Gates attacking me, biotech, Moderna, Pfizer, AstraZeneca.
Why do you trust these liars? You must be discerning, cause the world's not turning. No more astronauts or wires. This world is making it all, and now it's time we expose it.
9/11, no planes, another dream, another day. Building 7 falling from the plane they're calling. Nano filled by concrete, possible found in the street. Lucky Larry Silverstein, bullet like a slot machine. Shanksville, Red Pill, Rumsfeld, piss up. That's what hit the Pentagon. Where is all the footage gone?
Oh, just be biased. You must be discerning, cause the world's not turning. No more astronauts or wires. We're not sick of these clowns, let's get the circus shut down.
Climate change ever since, selling fear on CNN. Moonshot, space walk, Alfred Dalton. All the astronauts who died have a dream, still alive. Challenger, master plan, first all dream is drunk again.
We have moon rocks,
petrified.
That sucks,
yellow light.
The rockets fly,
CGI.
Planets know,
CGI.
The ISS,
RBS.
It's Earth flat,
actually yes.
Not dinosaurs,
yes, of course. I'm not taking
anymore. Why would you trust these liars? It may be concerning that the building is burning. Maybe come on, call these liars. They deserve a takedown for saying we go around, 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 around. Why do we trust these liars? We must be discerning, cause the world's not turning. No more astronauts or wires. This world is freaking, you know, and now it's time we expose it. Why do you trust these liars? You must be discerning, cause the world's not turning. No more astronauts or wires. This world is freaking, you know, and now it's time we expose it.
They missed one. The Holocaust.
Whatever. But I just thought they hit all the controversial topics
that
everybody talks about today. You're right. They should have put that in there. I don't know why they didn't put that in there. That should have been like the last one. Here's talking about liars.
Yeah, that's right. Finally end up with it. That'd have been good.
So all anyway, I think it's for wooden doors. That's it.
Yeah. I mean, but I thought it was very good. I thought they did a good job with it. All right. So anyway, I hope you folks enjoyed those videos. And next week we'll be back. We'll be telling you probably a little, I think we'll probably have some other people coming in next week. Maybe Henry.
Ryan. I sent him an invite. Yeah. We'll see.
Yeah. We'll see how it goes. But we'll get into what's going on with my house and all that too.
We'll be talking about that though
in our daily walk and talk. So if you really want to hear what's going on with the house situation, get into our rock and talk, and we'll do that. Okay, Uncle Murray, thank you for being on, and everybody else that came on today. We appreciate it. We'll be back next week. Same time, same station, 8 p.m. Eastern time.
Lord
and
that's willing. Pretty
much it. Yep, that's pretty much it. All right, everybody, good night. Take care. Bye now.
Bye.